Is this culture's last stand? Find out on this episode of Pushback. If you're concerned about the direction our culture is heading, then maybe it's time to push back. Hello, my dear listeners. This is Dr. Johnny, and this is another episode of Pushback. Thank you for tuning in for this week's podcast, because I believe this is a very important, critical, transitional podcast for the series that we are talking about over the course of this year of 2024, talking about culture, which is always at the very heartbeat of what I speak about and what I'm talking about, but talking about it really from the perspective of our children and how culture is warring against our children, and what we've been doing over the last 5 to 6 decades hasn't been working. And I've spent week after week and will continue to give you evidence of why that is absolutely 100% true. What we are doing isn't working, and our children are dying because of it. And we as parents, we are the ones that can inject ourselves and be the greatest influencers in our child's life, to not only serve them and care for them and nurture them, but to protect them and to see what is coming up against them, so that we can be their greatest advocates here on this earth. There's just no more time. I'm trying to deliver these podcasts with a sense of urgency, not fear, because fear isn't the motivating factor that accomplishes anything on the earth. In fact, fear is the currency of hell. It's the currency of the enemy, is fear. And we don't operate in that currency. That's not how we exchange goods or ideas. We use faith, and we use the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit within us, to convey what's up against us, because we have to have our eyes open. We also can't bury our head in the sand and say everything's going to be fine, or there's a separation of church and state so they can just destroy the culture and we can just go on with our own little kingdom on the side. None of those things are effective. In fact, we have to have the big picture, and the fact that we're here on this earth to affect culture. We're here on this earth to bring kingdom life to this planet called Earth, because we are his representatives. We are his ambassadors here on earth, and we carry his purpose and his plan. We carry his power. We carry his provision to accomplish what he has here for us on this earth. Otherwise, he could just take us home and just call it history. Let's just wrap this thing up. No, we're here because we are intended to be the tip of the spear. We're intended to bring real impact and change here on this earth. And if not us, then who? Are we really going to just go in the fetal position and just keep praying for Jesus to come back? Is that really our strategy? No, he's given us the power to be overcomers here on this earth. And we are the ones, whether we like it or not, we are the ones. It doesn't matter if we're 8 years old or 80 years old. We are the ones that carry the impact. We are the salt and light here on this earth. And we are the ones that need to make a difference. And so I want to give a little bit of a 10,000 foot view of what's happening here on the earth. And, you know, I use the United States as the example, because that's just where I have equity. I'm an American, and I love this country, and I care for it so much. And this country has what's called a culture, which has been very important. It was very important to the founding fathers when they set up this great experiment called the United States of America, that it would be based on moralistic values and culture, and that family would be strong and impactful. And as family goes, so goes the culture. That's always been true. It always is true. And I've said it a million times in my podcast, the definition of culture is the sum total ways of living passed down from generation to generation. It's not only how we live, it's the way we live And it's what is transmitted then to other generations. That's the how a culture works. And we've had a strong culture in America, I believe. Yes, founded on Judeo-Christian principles, but open to everyone, accepting of everyone here. We believe in freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to express ourselves, freedom to do a podcast about culture. We have those basic freedoms, and that's the culture that we've created. But at the heart of our culture, of the gravity, the impactfulness of our culture, at the heart of it is this idea that we are moral people, that we care for one another, that we have compassion for one another, that we look to be quote unquote good people and pass that goodness from generation to generation. And so I want to talk about a last stand. I'm finishing up the section on parenting, one of the four P's that really affect culture. Finishing up parenting and transitioning into something that I call pseudoscience. And I want to lay down the battlefield of what we're up against. And I think it'll help us understand the moving parts and pieces the way that I see it, and the importance of these factions, these pieces that form culture, and what is happening and the alliances that are being created. So the big impactful pieces, I believe, the most important being family. Family influences culture. As family goes, so goes the culture. That'll be the greatest influencer ever and will always be. And so if family goes, like goes away, culture goes away. As family goes, so goes the culture. There's also what we call religion. Now, religion is a big basket word, and Jesus actually warns about a religious spirit. So I don't love the word religion. But we have to understand that the traditional church and the kingdom of God and the representatives of the kingdom of God here on this earth is defined in this realm called religion. There's something called science, science and technology influences culture, whether we like it or not, whether it's appreciated or not. I am a scientist, and so I do appreciate it. And I don't believe that science contradicts the Bible. I believe that science is the demonstration of the Bible, and we get to discover it. And science is a beautiful thing. And then there's governance. Any society or culture will have some form of governance. And we have a government that is, some would say, too big, but it's big and it's strong and it's influential on our culture for sure. So let's talk about how these four areas influence and are positioned towards culture. Now, family, I would argue, is the key piece, and we'll circle back to that. But religion, I think, is very interesting, because I believe if you want to talk about a battlefield, I believe that there's been a faction, there's been a fracture of religion. I believe there's one camp that I would call church religion or traditional religion. And unfortunately, I believe that faction of religion has set down a lot of its responsibility and has actually separated itself from the culture war, from the battlefield completely. They've bought into the separation of church and state and has removed themselves from the impact that it has here on this earth. It's been disconnected. Connected to heaven, waiting for Jesus' return, but is disconnected from the earth or its influence on the earth. I believe there's a separate faction or fracture of this area called religion. And I would call it a godless religion. Now you say that's an oxymoron, a godless religion. But when you look at the definition of religion, it's a cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor and faith. Now, I'm going to prove to you over the next several months that it takes much more faith to believe in the religion of evolution than it is to actually believe in the religion of the Bible. So there's absolutely a faith connection. There's absolutely a supernatural connection, even though the tenet of a godless religion is that there cannot be a God. Make no mistake about it, in order to believe that, in order to believe how a system of human beings and living beings here on this earth could just magically appear over time, just given enough time, actually requires a supernatural belief. I'm going to prove that to you. It's a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. And believe me, this godless religion is absolutely a religion based on every definition. Now, this godless religion has connected itself to what I call pseudoscience. It's removing the standards of science to actually accomplish their belief system here on this earth. And the belief system starts with there cannot be a God. So the battlefield of religion is, I believe, is split. One that has disconnected itself from the battle completely. The other that has formed an unholy alliance, I believe, with the other two factions, which are politics and science. Now there's a religion, pseudoscience, politics, unholy alliance that is fighting against what I believe is culture's last stand, and that's family. I believe that's where the battle lines are drawn. These are influences of culture, influencers of culture, and I believe that there is a godless religion, a pseudoscience, and a political alliance that has formed a battlefield against the family. Now, why? We're going to get into that. Because in the middle of the battlefield is this word culture. And I believe family sets the culture. Family is the standard for culture. To remove family or to dilute family or to redefine family is not an alternative culture. It's an anti-culture. And I believe this is super important. If you get nothing else out of the podcast, get this one fact, that what the world is offering right now is not an alternative culture. It's trying to eliminate culture. Because remember, culture is the sum total ways of living passed down from generation to generation. When we remove the value for generational living, then it's not culture at all. You've actually eliminated the definition of culture completely. And it just becomes living any way you want. And that's what we see. That's not culture. That's just living. It's not freedom. It's actually bondage. See, again, I want to focus on children. And so family is all about child preservation, child health, child maturation, child and generational health moving forward. That's what family offers. This unholy alliance isn't about child preservation. It's about child sacrifice. You're like, now, wait a minute, Dr. Johnny. Those are big words. Those are powerful, inflammatory words. But the goal of this podcast is to tell it like it is. There have been many pagan cultures that have participated in child sacrifice. We can go on and on and on. It's the centerpiece of so many quote unquote godless religions. And so here we are at this crossroads. Here we are at this battlefield for actually generational culture. The very definition of culture, and family and parents are the ones that are the last stand. We're the last line of defense for culture itself. I believe there needs to be a holy alliance between family and church. That's part of the reason why I believe I'm here on this earth. I believe that's one of the main reasons GoFam Ministries actually exists, is to bring an alliance between family and church. Church didn't come to replace family. It was built upon family. We need to strengthen family so much, and we need to convince the church that what they represent here on this earth actually transforms culture. We need to draw them back into the battle. And that's my mission for this podcast and my mission for being here on earth. So how is this unholy alliance participating in child sacrifice? Well, let's be super clear. Let's say there's a burning building and your child is in it. If my child was in a burning building, please believe me, the connection in my brain to the action of my body is milliseconds. As I process that my child is in the burning building, I simply run in and go get my child. There's no hesitation. There's no contemplation. There is just action. I'm going to go save my child, no matter what it means to me, the cost or sacrifice to my own personal body. That's just reality. That's what any good dad would do, I think. So what about this godless religion? What about, what would pseudoscience say, or the politicians? If your child is in a burning building, there are other discussions that take place before they run into the building. Is this child desired? Is this child planned? What does this mean to me in my own personal life to bring and rescue this child? How does it affect me? What about the greater good? What about the greater good? Is it better for the greater good if this child just burns in this building than for me to go in and rescue him? I know this is hard hitting, but at the heart of every battle since the Garden of Eden has been this battle for culture. It's been a battle about a burning building. It's been a battle about generational health. See, the unholy alliance is after what's called selfish pleasure, self-promotion, self-consideration. And it's also about control. Control is a demonic, evil word. It's live and well in our culture. It can be alive and well in our families and our churches as well. This idea of controlling other people. Control is actually the heartbeat and the tenet, the main substrate of witchcraft itself. And the issue in the political spirit is that it has become not about moralistic values or protecting our children. That's clear. You can read the headlines. It's about votes. It's weird to say, but why are there 2 million immigrants crossing the border? Has anybody ever asked the administration of our government why the border is open? I just want that simple answer. Why? And the answer is they're voters. They're potential voters. Why do we abort our babies? Why do we offer our children as a sacrifice on the altar of selfish pleasure and control? And the answer in the political realm is that babies don't vote, but their mothers do. The LGBTQ community votes. The immigrants can vote. It's about control. It's about political control. Pseudoscience has actually turned their eye against what is actually real and true, even in biology, even the tenet of who is male and who is female, just simple biology. And they're creating a quasi-reality, even in the realm of science, which is counterintuitive. Science is all about discovering and testing and proving reality. And yet they've created a quasi-reality. And who suffers? The children. Why? Because there cannot be a God. They've hooked to this godless religion. And in any godless religion, child sacrifice is a centerpiece because it's about control. It's always about control. So these are the battle lines. This is the battle line. This is hard and this is heavy, but I believe I'm here on this earth to ring a bell, to ring this bell loudly and clearly. There is a battle. This is called Culture's Last Stand. I believe we can learn a lot from Custer's Last Stand. Certainly a play on word. And this is not a geopolitical commentary about Little Bighorn or whether it should have even been fought in the first place. But why did Custer lose? Historians say three reasons. First, he underestimated the enemy. Second, he waited too long to call for help. And third, there was an arrogance. How does that translate into the battle that we are fighting right now? We cannot underestimate our enemy. We can't wait too long to ring this bell and call for help and say, this is the most important thing that we are fighting right now, the protection of our children, the generational health of the future of our culture. And yes, there is some arrogance, but even a better word in the time that we live, I would say, is ambivalence. There's an ambivalence. It'll be okay. It's not my battle. I don't need to fight it. My kids will be fine. My friends, they're coming for your kids. This is a battle, and we need to be on the front lines and ready to fight it. It's a culture versus an anti-culture war. And yes, I believe that family is culture's last stand. It's a last stand against an unholy alliance that is looking to eliminate the one last faction that would stand in its way for complete control. Hopefully that becomes clear. Hopefully from this viewpoint, from this vantage point, you can see how clear this is. Just read the headlines and the attack on family itself. Why have we become so anti-family? It's because it's the only thing standing in the way of my selfish pleasure, of an establishment of morality. The establishment of morality goes against my selfish pleasure and control. So we are going to transition into what I call pseudoscience, because I believe it's so important that we understand what's coming up against our children every single day, not only in what they read and what they do and what's being exposed to them about their lives, but even in science class at school. There is a doctrine, a religious doctrine that's being taught to your children at school, which is completely counteractive to the Bible itself. They cannot coexist, and I'm going to prove that to you. There is no common ground, there is no compromise, and no compromise is needed. And I am so excited to share that truth with you as we go forward. Thank you again for listening. This is hard hitting, but so critically important. Please share this podcast with your friends and family, because we need to know what we're up against. And here's the truth. I want to leave you with a piece of hope. It is not too late. This is a battle that can be won. This is a culture that can be shifted because of his people here on this earth. So let's go together now to set and shape the culture.